Hi, this is Juanita and welcome back to Juanita's Trove. So today we'll be talking about being vegan. I know there's so many diets out there in the world. There's being vegan, there's being vegetarian, there's being keto, there's banting, and I don't know, there's the Atkins diet. There's so many diets out there that it's so confusing to know which one to embark on. So far in the series, we've spoken about the no sugar diet. We've spoken about the being keto diet, which is actually very similar to the banting diet. So today we want to unpack, you know, what does it entail being vegan? What's the difference between being vegan and being vegetarian? Because so many people are actually going vegan, some for the right reasons, some for the wrong reasons, some do it mainly because, I don't know, they're trying to save the world. But nonetheless, we want to understand and unpack what being vegan entails, what is it about. And I have the lovely, lovely Chanel Adams in studio today. So before I tell us about her, she's actually the newest member to join Trove. Yes, if you haven't picked it up yet, she just joined Trove. She's a writer and editor and actually put up her first piece of work a week ago. Yes, so do check out the website www.trowellness.com. So Chanel, the young lady, she's a smart girl, dude. I think she's got a master's or something, but anyway, she'll tell us more about herself now. However, she's a writer, editor by profession, and she's from New York and has been vegan for about 4 years. Sounds about a decade. She enjoys traveling and she prioritizes self-care and exercise as much as she possibly can. Chanel, hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You're excited to get roasted.
I'm used to the vegan drag. I'm ready.
What do you mean you're used to the vegan drag? You get dragged around a lot.
Have you been on Twitter?
Look, I'm not part of the vegan Twitter, sorry. So I'm actually not sure, but I know that, look, anybody, as long as you have a Twitter account, you've got a 99% chance of just being dragged. Already,
sure.
Just being on Twitter. Twitter's a monster, hey?
Yeah, they'll get you for anything.
Absolutely.
Anything. And sometimes they're right.
Look, sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes they're warranted, and often not. One thing I realized that I struggle about Twitter is that people tend to not respect each other's opinions, differing opinions and values. So just because I think differently to you or hold a different opinion to you, it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. And like, just because it's the most popular one, and I have an opposing one, doesn't mean that mine's wrong. You know, but nonetheless, we're not here to talk about Twitter and, you know, the Twitter streets and their politics. We're here to talk about being vegan. Before we go into it, tell us more about your vegan journey.
Yeah, so I came to being vegan about 4 years ago, completely by accident. So I think that that's one of the ways that my role in the vegan community is sort of maybe a little different, where I didn't really choose to be vegan. I got sick.
Tell us more.
So I was actually raised vegetarian, to backtrack. So I think that I also had kind of a leg up in the vegan game in that I wasn't giving up everything. I don't know what a beef steak tastes like.
No.
I can't miss it because I've never had it.
Wait. You mean to tell me you were raised vegetarian?
I was raised vegetarian.
Are your parents vegetarian?
Yes.
Both?
My mom is.
And ever since you were born, you've never tasted meat.
I had chicken nuggets, like as a little kid, but I don't even know if that's chicken.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you know, it's arguable. Questionable.
yeah, we're not going to mention the brand name.
Yes, but we know something.
So, but you mean to tell me you've never tasted like steak?
Never.
Fish?
I have tasted fish, and it tastes like it smells.
I love fish.
I've started actually having some fish occasionally. So that has been a new advance in the past couple of months, just because, as I'll talk about, I'm really into like intuitive eating. So I eat what my body is telling me I need to eat.
Okay. So you were raised vegetarian. So I guess for the greater part of your life, you've really never dabbled into meat. And what made you decide to change from being vegetarian to being vegan?
So I traveled to Madagascar and I got really, really sick. And I don't know what happened, but I took way too many antibiotics, other pills to just cure whatever it was. And as a result, I had a lot of like intestinal inflammation. And I took that as a moment to like really think about what I was eating. And so I did mm-hmm. an elimination diet and mm-hmm. took some blood samples. And I don't know if it was the sickness that actually like initiated these allergies or if they were there the whole time and I wasn't paying attention. But it was a moment of really reconnecting to my body, and I took being sick as a reset to learn about what actually my body was going through. Because before that, I was in a lot of high-stress school environments. I was always on the go, mm-hmm. and I always felt tired. Had a lot of anxiety, headaches. And so I wanted to shift anyway. So
please explain, what's the difference between being vegan and being vegetarian?
Well, when you're vegan, you don't eat any animal products. So that means no milk, no eggs, no dairy. Some vegans don't eat honey. I actually love honey. That's not what I subscribe to. But there are also some vegans who won't mm-hmm. wear any leather. So there's a lot of degrees to how you can go, but the base of it is no eggs, no cheese, no milk.
So basically, you cannot have anything that comes from an animal.
Exactly.
And not necessarily the meat itself.
Exactly. Any animal product.
And then being vegetarian, you can have the latter.
Yes.
Except
vegetarian is just no flesh, I guess.
No flesh.
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of makes sense. And but how has it been for you? Like, in terms of what does it mean on a day-to-day basis, in terms from a dietary perspective? Like, what do you eat?
Yeah.
What do you eat for breakfast? What do you have for lunch? What do you have for dinner? I just want to know, like, can you list a couple of items which are in your diet?
For sure. At the beginning, I was so discouraged. I was like, I can't eat anything I like anymore. I'm only going to eat carrots for a week. And obviously that didn't last. So then I had to learn how to cook. So actually being vegan meant that I learned to cook way more for myself because I can't eat on the go that much. So every morning I wake up and I have oats, and I put in like chia seeds. I have a lot of protein powders that I use, a lot of fruit, and I make smoothies. Then the staples of my diet are really like chickpeas, tofu, lentils, rice. I love rice. Any fruit and vegetable. I mean, I think, again, because I was raised vegetarian, mm-hmm. I know a lot of different veggies, and I really like the way that they taste. So that hasn't been too difficult. A lot of broccoli, aubergine, green beans, spinach. I love salads.
Wow. So quick one. I mean, just a little deviation.
Yeah.
You have a partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does this work, being vegan and having a boyfriend? Is he vegan? No.
No.
Does he eat meat?
Yes.
How does that work? Like, when you cook, I just don't understand, like, because food is such a big, food plays a very important role of our lives. I mean,
yeah.
We pretty much eat all the time, like morning, lunch, dinner, snack in between. Mm. So I'm trying to understand, and you have someone that eats, that's on a completely different diet than you are, and one which is not just like about the actual food, it's also something which is more, it's more to you than just the food, right?
No? Yeah.
So like, how does that work?
Well, first of all, I think being vegan means that I really know how to flavor food now because mm-hmm. you don't get all of the same flavors that you could eating meat. So I think mm. I'm just, it's made me a better cook. So people want to eat with me in general, as a disclaimer. Because I'll cook things and uh-huh. people are like, is that really vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? I'm like, yep, you didn't even know.
Mm.
So there's a lot of ways around. But I think that what has been really cool is that we cook a lot together now. Because we mm-hmm. have to learn what it is that we can eat in common. So we do a lot of like looking up recipes and going grocery shopping, finding some like cool new things to try out. But then, of course, there's a lot of sneaky hacks. So like, for example, this week we made shakshuka and I made it with tofu. And then at the end, he threw an egg in on his. So there's ways that there's a lot of dishes that at the end you can add the non-vegan ingredient.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, we just separate the pans. But, like, we're together until that last fork.
But, like, that's a lot of work, eh?
I mean, a lot of cooking, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of cooking. Cooking on itself is a lot. But now having to kind of, like, having the, not admin, but having to be mindful of, you know, cooking two separate dishes at the same time, it can add to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of my daily life, actually, food admin, where I always have snacks. because I don't know about you, but I get hangry. If I haven't had a snack, I haven't eaten,
that's me.
I'm not okay. And that means that anyone around me will not be okay too. So I'm always thinking, what is the next thing I'm going to eat? How can I get it? Okay, I'm going to this neighborhood. What are the things I can get around there at the last minute if I'm hungry?
I know it's silly, but I've just never tried to envision life as someone that doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
Because also it's I'm like, so how's it going to work? But funny enough, I've actually had the idea or thought about going not vegan, but possibly either vegetarian or what is the term to describe when you only eat fish?
Oh, pescatarian. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I love fish. Like, I don't do red meat. Not that I don't eat it. I'm not a big fan of red meat. I probably have red meat like once a week or once every second or third week. But mainly, because of my diet, it's mainly chicken and fish. Chicken and fish. I'm not a chicken fish. So pescatarian is an option which I may be open to in future, because I love fish. However, like I said, it's kind of hard when you with someone and they like a hard meat fan. And luckily for you, he's not Zulu.
But actually, evolutionarily, we're not supposed to be having red meat 3 times a day. I don't think that anybody's ancestors had access to meat on such a regular basis.
Mm.
And so I think that there are ways that the culture of big meat industry has seeped into sort of our daily lives where maybe we don't need to be eating.
For South Africans particularly, it's more of a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like in some cultures or in some tribes, like being Zulu, you know, one that I pick on, they have farms, they have like, you know, livestock, and they slaughter every day, and they're like, not every day, you know, and meat is like, it's that manly thing. It's a man thing to eat meat. Like it's one of those when you're not eating, whether it's either porridge, pap, or like bread, or like and meat. It's basically, like meat is just a very important aspect of traditional culture in South Africa. And I won't comment too much into that because I'm not the most traditional person ever. Like I wasn't raised very traditionally, and yeah, so I can't even comment on that. And I'm not Zulu, I'm Tswana, and my parents would never impose such on me, so I can't comment on it. But what I do know is that I don't know if I could be able to date a traditionally Zulu man that's going to expect like meat every single day. I mean, like what? I don't even cook every day.
But that's a good point. You know, I think being vegetarian really did impact what I see as possible for what I eat. And that's really primed me to be vegan, actually.
Cool. But then, you know, being vegan, what are some of the disadvantages of being vegan? I think more particularly from a nutritional perspective, are there any deficiencies that you experience? Because you're eliminating quite a lot of things. How do you ensure that you still get the nutrients and the minerals and the vitamins that you need, even though you've eliminated so many things?
Yeah. I think, well, first I do want to talk about some of the pros. And then I'll back it up with the challenges. And there's plenty of challenges.
Give me a couple of pros.
But I've honestly never felt so naturally energetic. Another reason, or another pro, is that I've never actually been so in touch with how I feel after I eat and how the foods that I'm consuming are affecting everything from my mentality to my exercise and my energy levels. So I would actually recommend an elimination diet, not just for anybody looking to become vegan, but so that everybody can figure out for themselves how they feel in their bodies in response to certain foods. So, I mean, I would never across the board recommend a vegan diet for everybody, but I think that right now in my body, it's exactly what I need. And I did that through experimenting with eliminating some foods.
I also heard that a vegan diet is richer in certain nutrients because you kind of like try and make sure that you supplement it. So you're very intentional and picky about what you put in your body.
Exactly, because if I eat something that doesn't work with my body, I feel it immediately because I'm paying attention now.
Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that it helps you lower your blood sugar levels and improve your kidney functions. And I mean, there are many, many benefits to being vegan.
I've never recovered faster too after workouts. I don't feel the same fatigue the next couple of days.
Okay, all right. Still not enough to convince me to be vegan. That's not a problem. And then, what are the cons of being vegan?
I think the major downfalls, of course, are that you need to pay attention to some things like your B12 levels, your iron, your calcium. I've also, there's controversies, but creatine levels too. And it means that you need to be taking supplements or at least eating a very varied diet to get everything that you need. So I think that there's good and bad ways of being vegan. I don't know if you have Oreos here, but they're like those chocolate cookies with a cream filling.
Chanel, how do you not know the Oreos in South Africa?
You have Oreos? I haven't seen them. But Oreos are vegan, right? Oreos are vegan.
Oh, Oreos vegan? Yes. What do you mean Oreos are vegan? What makes them vegan?
There's no milk in Oreos. I don't know what it is, but there's no milk. So you could eat Oreos all day and be vegan, right? So with any diet, there's a way to do it that counts as that diet that you're not getting everything you need. French fries, vegan, you know? So it means that you have to, because you're not eating from such a varied pool of food, you need to be hyper vigilant of getting all of the things that you need, which for some people can be great. And other times, for example, I feel super lazy and I just want fast food, but that's difficult to find when you're vegan too.
I mean, I understand the super lazy part. I mean, for me, I think sometimes I get lazy to make different things, so I end up eating the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And like, the problem is I don't have a problem with that. I can eat like chicken breast and like broccoli for almost every single day and be okay with it. But I do always say that when people want to make the journey more interesting and fun, they should kind of like learn to experiment with food to make it more fun for them.
And I think having a different dietary restriction means that you have to be more experimental and you have to be more inventive.
So tell me, I train quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm in the process of trying to bulk up, trying to like ensure I don't lose muscle and I gain muscle. And protein is a very, very important part of this.
Right.
For me, hence, like, for example, I have to eat like about 190 kilograms of protein a day.
This is kilograms? Quite
190, yes. Grams.
Oh. What? No, it's like,
why is it physically possible?
You're eating people.
I don't even weigh 90. Yeah. No, I know. No, 90.
That's a lot.
No, 90 grams, which is still a lot though.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's just for me to ensure that I don't lose muscle or I try and gain muscle. Now, what happens when you're vegan? Where do you get your protein from? Like, how do you consistently train to ensure that you gain your muscle and you don't lose your muscle when you are vegan?
So this is the question that always comes back to vegans about protein. So I think it's safe to say that most people aren't training at the level and activity that you are on a daily basis. So most of us don't need that much protein. Actually, I read that you only need about 70 grams, and most people are reaching it on a vegetarian or vegan diet without even really trying. So I think in the United States, at least, there's been a huge push for the protein lobby through meat and dairy products to try and get it on the recommended values just so that people are buying those products. So without just diving into a whole conspiracy theory, I think that first it's important to interrogate how much protein we actually need and then to recognize that there's protein in a lot of things that we eat in small quantities. So again, if you're having a varied and rich vegan diet, you will encounter those proteins naturally through eating things like chickpeas and lentils, tofu, soy, anything that you would be eating to supplement a vegan diet anyway.
Do you have supplements at all for vegans?
I take a pea protein powder in Sandi's, which is really good. You can find it actually at like Spar, I think, or Dischem. It's pretty Yeah, it's in a lot of the stores around here in the health food aisle.
Okay.
Otherwise, a B12 supplement is really great. And then for anybody, especially for women, a vitamin D3 is really important because a lot of us aren't getting enough vitamin D.
Is being vegan sustainable?
So far, yeah.
Listen,
sustainable for the environment.
You've been vegetarian since you were like a little child.
Right. So,
vegan for you is not harder, but I'm like, just trying to understand, like, for a normal person,
yeah,
how sustainable is it? And also, how sustainable is it for people that are trying to use it to lose weight?
Yeah. I don't know so much about that. You've seen me, I'm tall. So I've been vegetarian my whole life, and I didn't have any issue growing, playing sports, so it's possible. But I think it's also second nature for me. So it does require really a lot of effort at the beginning. And if you, I think the major cost of being vegan is time. Is really being able to plan ahead and think through what your options are going to be.
And how has this affected your social life? Why are you laughing?
Because at the beginning I was not slick about it. It was hard. Because as I told you, on these Twitter streets, people drag vegans for good reason. There's a lot of really annoying vegans out there with whom I don't associate. But I found a lot of tricks. So for example, if I'm going out for a meal, I'll recommend a restaurant where I've already checked the menu and know that there's something I can eat. So I have a couple go-to spots where I know it's safe that I can eat something. I also will show up at dinner parties with food. I'll be like, oh yeah, can I bring dessert? Oh yeah, I'll bring a starter. And then that way there's something there for me that I can eat. Or, sometimes I'll even say, oh no, I'll meet you after the meal. Like, I already have dinner plans. So there's ways that I have to navigate it. Obviously
like
the people who really love me feed me.
so much work. Now I have to dodge dinners because I don't necessarily want to eat because I know there's not going to be food for me. Now to bring food to dinner parties. Like, it's a lot of work for it.
It's not dodging dinner so much as knowing that if there's a situation where people would not be open to me being vegan, then maybe I don't want to be having dinner with them anyway. I think it's just basic respect. And I think it's really taught me to be more mindful of what I'm eating, who I'm spending time with, and it's always super meaningful when I can eat with people. Because it means that everybody is being respected.
Yeah, and everyone's happy.
Yeah. And also, vegan food is delicious. If you're doing it right, it's good. You like it? Have you been to Leafy Greens?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
We should go
there. It's out, it's a drive out of the city. It's beautiful. But it's like a buffet on the weekends.
You're lying.
It's so good.
This is a place that I want you to try it as well. It's by the, I can't say the name, Poppy. Xerox or Xerox Culture Park. And it's like 50 km out of Joburg as well. They have everything, like vegan, fruits, vegetables and meat as well. But it's also like a buffet style. But the quality and the type of food they have is incredible.
Wow.
Like, you don't understand, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in food heaven.
Yeah.
No, really. So,
and a vegan buffet is amazing because after you eat it, you don't feel awful. It's like an all-you-can-eat, and then at the end, it's like, I still feel light on my feet.
So, on the topic of where to find food, where can you find affordable foods? Or, like, how do you cheat the system? Because people tend to believe that being vegan is expensive. It's not, I can't go take, I don't know, I can't ask to look for things that are gluten or certain things free, you know, and those are generally tend to be more expensive. Like, how do you navigate not spending a huge amount of money on food on a monthly basis in order to be healthy?
I say don't fall for the marketing at the supermarket about what things are vegan. Because actually, everything's vegan except for the animal products. So there's a lot of money right now in the vegan industry of marketing things as vegan. There's a lot of vegan cafes that are really expensive. But being vegan isn't actually expensive. If you are going and buying fresh produce from your local grocer, if you buy a lot of like dried beans in bulk, I eat a lot of rice, for example, just get a big bag of that. There's a lot of ways to be vegan at a low cost, of course, if you're cooking it yourself. That's the major point.
And then, so talking about, you know, being vegan and being dragged. There's a vegan lady that got recently dragged in the vegan community.
Oh, yeah.
Rovana.
Mm-hmm. Was she the one who was eating fish?
She was caught eating fish. She was on holiday with another blogger or something along those lines. And as a friend, you know, we live in a digital age. Her friend was busy taking a video of her own food and experience, and somehow she was caught in the video, and there was like a piece of fish on her plate, and she kind of tried to hide it, you know. But I believe that, you know what, if you think Twitter people are like hectic, I think vegans are hectic. I feel like you guys are on point. The minute you slip up, like, you're gonna get dragged to the T. That's what essentially happened. And, you know, and she came out of the video saying that for some reason, but some health reasons, she had to stop or something on the science. But then people were upset about the fact that let's just say that you are right and you are telling the truth that you had to stop being vegan for any health reasons. However, you owe it to the public to share with them when you stopped being vegan, because now you sold a meal plan to us just a week ago, a vegan meal plan, and you're posting about vegan meal plans, but yet you've actually started eating meat, you know. And like, I'm just trying to understand, like, you know, who, at the end of the day, a lot of people need guidance in terms of who to follow. It's great getting inspiration from people that are living a certain lifestyle and you want to follow those kind of people. Are there any 2-3 people that you can recommend that people actually follow or go to for a source of inspiration when it comes to being vegan, meal prepping, and just how to manage the lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think when it comes to being vegan, there's sort of policing on multiple angles from non-vegans and vegans to maintain a pure idea of what being vegan is. So I definitely try to follow people that are more open about their experience and the fact that some days they eat something else. Some days they don't follow their plan. Sometimes they don't have energy to do the exercise they told you that they were about to do. Because I think when we hold each other to some sort of standard of purity, we're just not being realistic. Mm. And when we're not realistic, we can get defeated and fall off track and disillusioned. And really the whole point is that if being vegan works for you and it feels good for you, it doesn't really matter what being vegan means for everybody else. So I actually kind of stay away from a lot of vegan influencers for that reason, because I find a lot of it is more based on portion control and a purity than actually just eating to eat right with your body. Mm. So my go-to is Google, and I look at what random ingredients I have in my refrigerator, and I Google them, and I find a vegan recipe to put together those ingredients in a new way. And that's been really the rewarding experience for me.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So a quick one. Where can people find you? I believe you're on Twitter and you're on Instagram as well.
Yeah. So you can go to my website at chanelleadams.info, or on Instagram, it's at Chanel, but with no vowels. So that's CHN_N_LL_.
Why is your name complicated?
My name was taken.
No. I mean, honestly, I looked at your Instagram handle, and I'm just like, Instagram handle. Let me go to Chanel quickly. I wish I could show you guys this. It is CH_N_LL_.
But did you know it's my name with no vowels? Now you know. And then I'm on Twitter, which is way more easy to, like, remember. It's Nellie Nooks, NELLIENOOKS.
Can you please maintain some sort of consistency across social media names? I prefer the Twitter one. I think you need to change your Instagram handle to your Twitter handle, Nellie Nooks.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, is Mel Adams taken away? Mel Adams.
No.
Why did you try Mel Adams?
Maybe.
I think you should. And I think that, I think just from a career perspective as well, you know, people can easily find you easy or easier when you are Mel Adams.
Yeah. Well, people come to me for many different things. So each platform has a different audience.
Well, that's okay. And of course, guys, you will also be seeing more of Chanel and her work on the Trove page, because like I said, she is our newest member. She's our writing editor, and yeah, you won't be hearing her from, well, it won't be the last you hear from her. And thank you so much, Chanel, CH underscore N underscore
LL underscore. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.